That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And that old wheel has rolled around again. It is October the 20th, 2012. And you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Richard is up in the hills trying to get an elk today, but the rest of us are here. Jason, are you there?
I am here.
And John, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Jason, would you open up in prayer, please?
Certainly. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity. And we just ask for your blessing upon this broadcast. Ask that you guide us and direct us with the working of your Holy Spirit to give us the words to speak as we go out across these airwaves. We ask that you quicken us in our minds and give us the thoughts and direct us. And we do just ask for that in our everyday lives as well. Ask that you guide us, direct us, give us more strength, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And that you bless the remnant, Father, with this as well. We ask that you see to it that they're satisfied, that their cup overflows, that you grant us an abundance, Father. In these troubled times, Father, we want the remnant to be the ones that rise higher and higher as our enemies go down lower and lower. We call for it to be done, and we thank you for it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I talked to two people. Actually, I talked to more than two people yesterday, but two that were on my mind this morning. Two that were on my mind this morning. One was an old friend, and, you know, he said that life is miserable. And then I talked to an 85-year-old woman, and she thinks Mitt Romney is the answer. And it's just, you know, I'm not laughing at her, but, at the, you know, because obviously she isn't part of the ministry or whatever, but she's a nice sweet old lady or whatever you want to call her. You know, 85, she looks like she's only 70. But she, you know, wants people to go out and vote and thinks she's gonna change things by it. And, you know, I mean, I would rather have Romney in the White House as Obama. Don't get me wrong. But it was kind of funny because she was, you know, just so determined. And that you could tell that was really a lot of her focus on what she was living today. And then my friend, you know, from my old past, he's miserable because, you know, he knows we're in Babylon and it's just getting him down. Kind of like our caller Wednesday night, you know, where, you know, you could tell that he was really troubled. And it's life. If you look at life like that, it is miserable, you know. And I'm sure you guys, Jason and John, I'm sure you're running into the same thing out there, but just thought I'd start out with that.
Yep, yeah, I agree. You know, and there's a lot of people that are going through that. We talked a little bit about that last night. And, you know, I got a soundbite here I'll pull up here that kind of explains, you know, what a person... it's good scripture on what somebody can do, you know, when they get down in that. Or let's see if this will play or not. Tell me if you can hear this or not.
Okay.
Sometimes when I get discouraged, I like to read the latter part of Romans 8, because if there's ever a strengthening, encouraging, and empowering passage of scripture, it's this one. In Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 31. Now let's start with verse 28.
Yeah.
And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquer. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And that was just encouraging to me. And that's one of those encouraging scriptures that sometimes we get in a place in our life where we have to start reflecting back on it.
Amen.
And, you know, we have those strengthening scriptures to go back to and to strengthen us. And when we get into that place in our minds where we think, you know, we start to think, oh, life is miserable, it's a lie.
Oh, amen. And I love that you played that on the air last night and again this morning, because faith comes by hearing, you know?
Yes,
and
it does.
And there's no, I mean, I can testify to that probably more than you guys, because I came on the scene here so much later than you. Jason, you basically were raised here, and John, it's been a long time since you were away from this ministry. But I came on the scene and I had never heard real preaching before. At least not since I was like 6 or 7 years old. But once I heard Pastor Peters, actually a man of God, preaching the word, I realized how much faith comes by hearing. Because I'd always read, and I always thought I was a Christian, but I always lacked something. And it was that, you know, and you can get knowledge, obviously, from reading, and understanding from reading, and I think you can even get a little bit of faith from reading, but nothing like when you hear it. You know, I mean, and you know, that's why, you know, when I travel from down where you guys are up to here, you know, there's nothing that can lift my spirit up more than putting in a sermon by that man, because it builds your faith, you know.
And there's nothing that can make you angrier than, well, listening to something like a presidential debate.
Yeah. In 1 Corinthians 15, you know, verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And I really don't understand how so many people live their lives apart from Jesus Christ and apart from the hope of immortality. Because in this life, what a mess. I mean, if you let yourself just get caught up in this world, you know, I can see how you're just miserable all the time. You know, it'll bring you down fast.
Yeah, we need to use the weapons that our pastor taught us too. You know, we got to come against those demons and the spirits that bring us down and bind them and call for more of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, it's 11 after the hour. Give the phone number out. It's 307-745-5913. You guys got anything else on your minds right now?
Yeah, I was just looking through some local stuff and or some current stuff, and there's a pretty interesting, do you see that Reverend Billy Graham took out a full-page ad in the Wall Street Journal and then in a couple other magazines, I guess, but that those aren't cheap. USA Today, and the full-page ad reads, Vote Biblical Values, Tuesday, November 6th. And basically what he's saying is that he's endorsing Romney, saying that you have to vote for the one who's for not for abortion and for sacred marriage, not same-sex marriage. So it's kind of interesting that at 94 years old, he come out with full-page ads like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if you guys recall back in the Bush, maybe it was Al Gore he was running against, or you know, where do you guys remember Peter's sermon on Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah, I mean because back then people were saying, well, you got to vote for Bush. He's just, you know, basically his biblical values are so much higher, and from the outside looking in, they did look way higher, but he broke it down, you know, and basically when it got right down to it, you know, the people that were backing Bush, giving him money, that he was going, you know, that he was going to support through his presidency, you know, they were all immoral people, you know what I mean? And so the basic of the deal, you know, who are you going to vote for, Dumb or Dumber, you know? Now, I mean, and that's kind of the lesser of two evils. You know, who are you going to vote for, evil or the lesser of two evils? You know, and again, I'm not trying to bash one candidate and not the other or both. I'm just saying that if they're in that system, that ungodly, lawful system, it's only going to be so good or less bad, you know. But anyway, just thought I'd throw that out. If you haven't heard that message, Dumb or Dumber, I mean, it's quite an eye-opener, but anyway.
Nothing new under the sun, huh?
Nothing new, yep. But, you know, with that being said, when I see an Obama bumper sticker, it makes me way madder when I see a a Romney one.
Go ahead.
I was just going to put the number out again, 307-745-5913. Now I'm waiting.
Oh, okay. I don't know. It you look at you know, so many people's attitudes towards it is you know, you just whatever it's going to be is going to be. You just take a step back, and they try to get you to be convinced that that's just the Christian's attitude. And that's the Christian, what a Christian's supposed to do is you know, just lay over and do nothing. And you know, I mean, we've had Antichrist forces, like John was saying a minute ago. We've got it. We've got our duty, and we've got, you know, our job is to use the spiritual weaponry that's been given us, and that is so true. And just as, you know, for the majority of so-called Christians out there, they don't use that. They don't want to. They don't want to fight anything, you know. And if they want to do anything, they'll talk about, well, we gotta be prayer warriors. And then they, okay, and all of a sudden I got a strong echo here. Are you there?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay. And they'll talk about wanting to be prayer warriors, but then they don't even want to pray.
Yeah.
You know, and we've had these forces that have come across this land and taken over a nation and taken over families and churches, left and right, because there's been no opposition to them. There's been nothing standing up against Antichrist forces, demonic forces, spiritual forces of the wickedness that are, you know, out there stealing, killing, destroying, bringing down, taking over.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. You know, and you can't always judge each person that does stand up, because I remember, I don't know exactly where it is, Paul teaching on those that were spreading the gospel, and he even mentioned those that were doing it for gain and those that were doing it for personal pleasure or whatever, but at the end of it he said, but at least the gospel is being preached, you know. So you know, maybe, you know, and I might be guilty of that sometimes, to, you know, think, well, the guy isn't all that great, you know. But, you know, if they're saying good things, and the, you know, they're trying to bring good back into the country, you know, maybe you know, it should just be well, that's good, and leave it at that, and pray for more of it, you know.
Yeah, another interesting thing that I read about that Billy Graham deal was they pulled down a paragraph that they had linking Mormonism to being a cult after Romney sat down with Billy Graham. So,
Well, we got a caller. Well, let's go to the caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Good morning, Kyle.
Hey, Calvin, how are you?
Oh, you recognize my voice. Boy, that's a plus.
Yeah, we don't have caller ID, so, you know. But.
Oh, well, that's good. Anyway,
we have voice
I was
ID.
Listening to last week's Coffee with the Wranglers, and I was thinking of the you're talking on a spell or the attitude that people have for no reason at all. And I was thinking when you were mentioning about talking to people about things of the Lord and the gospel, that in Acts, I was looking at that, you know, that if we're led by the Spirit according to the word there in Acts, and bring the message, the good news, that Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again, and that by baptism, in Acts it says when Paul was brought to Ananias' house there in Damascus and given the opportunity, he says, why do you delay? Why not rise up and be baptized, washing away your sins? And so going back to being led by the Spirit, you can bring the people up the water and you can show them the need for it, just like the eunuch on the road when Philip joined him in his chariot. And the eunuch says, oh, there's water. What keeps me from being baptized? And Philip says, if you believe what I've told you and what is written here, you can be baptized. And they was, and they went away joyfully from then on. And all I can say is to break this spell of us being downcast as soldiers, we can give the good news, and if the people are led to water, now the Holy Spirit is the only one that can draw them.
Amen.
We should take solace in that. We should be cheerful. We've done our job. Now, if the Spirit doesn't want that one to see or hear, too bad. Move on down the road. You don't have to be angry or disappointed. Just don't cast your pearls before swine.
Right.
Wouldn't that be the attitude, or am I wrong?
No, I think you're right on. Yeah.
Because
well,
there, just,
the water,
there may be someone,
drink,
if we're talking to someone, who will not listen. That we're missing talking or spreading the gospel to someone who would be listening. And I guess that's the only attitude I have. I know my days are numbered according to the scriptures, so I would try to influence as many people as I can to believe or understand the word of God. And it's pretty simple. You can either reason that your God is in Washington, D.C. or some other capital that man has made, or you can believe in the God who created heaven and earth, and he knows everything. I've been studying some courses in the Hubble Space Telescope, and it is amazing. When you see what that machine can see, it just, you wonder what book God, to be God, knows everything. He created it all. And the testimony of Christ was that he, by his, the Word of God made flesh, there was nothing made that wasn't made by him. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
And so we ought to be cheerful. Even when you feel like I do, man, I tell you, it's hard to even get out of bed with this. Apparently, she's going to do some tests to see if I got Lyme disease, apparently. And that's one of the problems. So I would covet your prayers, fellas, and see if we can figure out what's ailing the old... well, I was going to use a bad word. The old guy.
We'll keep you in prayer, Cal.
Absolutely. Okay, thanks, man. We'll talk to you later, and I'll listen while I'm off the phone.
Thanks, Cal.
Have a nice day.
Well, and I think that's what, just like what Cal said, it's important. And that's one of the things that a pastor taught us as a weaponry is dusting the dust off your boots and going on. And there's a lot of people that mock that and said things about it, but I'll tell you what, it works. You talk to somebody, you give them a testimony about something. If they don't want to hear it, dust your boots off and walk on.
Amen. That is so true. You know, especially family members or people that you've known your whole life, you know, I mean, even though, you know, you're not equated to a great prophet, any of us, or the apostles, or Christ himself, the fact of the matter is, many of your own aren't going to receive you even less than those that don't know you, you know. And sometimes it's hard to kick the dust off your feet, you know, off your own. And I'm not saying you should permanently, but you can't get yourself so wrapped up in trying to save people that don't want to be saved that it just, you know, you get destroyed as far as mentally and physically. And I mean, it can drain you, you know. I mean, they can suck every bit of energy you got in your system out, and before you know it, you are miserable. You do need to go on, and like Paul said, you know, I think he says, I determined to know nothing except Christ Jesus and him crucified. I mean, that's where the hope is, you know, because if that didn't happen, you know, I mean, then we would be most miserable, you know. And I think Calvin hit it right on the head. Spread the gospel news and God will do the rest, you know, I mean. Anyway, we do have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Kyle.
Joe, hey, how you doing?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, you touched on a thing here I ran into for the last 5 years or so, I think. And it's a whole lot easier to talk to strangers or people that you know who are not your family because they don't have much of an expectation of you. And I've noticed this particularly with parents. And in my case, my father, he would have his eye, well, throughout my whole life, basically, he would just would have his left eye peeled for watching me, whatever I did. And whenever I went against what he did or thought, he would come up and just roar. And it's I think it's the same way with kin, you know, blood kin, as opposed to like a neighbor or even a good friend or a coworker. You're able to laugh it off with a non-family member, whereas with a family member, they tend to really take it to heart. In my case, anyway.
Good point. Yep.
Okay, well, thanks for taking my call. Talk to you later.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Okay, bye.
That is true, what Joe just said. I mean, and then you got the your family or the ones that are close to you, they know all your faults, so they have a hard time, you know, accepting maybe something good coming out of you because they remember 3 years ago when this thing happened and you weren't so righteous. You know, I mean, that does come into play. I mean, I remember reading, you know, the the people that grew up around Nazareth or Bethlehem or where, you know, where they were just like, isn't this the carpenter man's son? You know, I mean, he was, that's all he was to them. You know, it's not like, now if he would have came from afar, you know, they might have listened, you know, but no, he's just that's carpenter man's son. You know, I ain't listening to him. Anyway, we got another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Well, good morning, man. This is Valerie in Oklahoma.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi. Well, it was really good to hear Cal. Hi, Cal. I'm so glad to hear him today. I'm glad he's feeling better.
What's on your mind? Yep, we're listening.
Oh, well, kind of back to what you were saying about, you know, Obama and Romney. I disagree that I think Romney is scarier than Obama because he's a fake Christian, and I think he's just what they're looking for to get all of the other fake Baal-worshipping Judeo-Christians to get behind him. So I think that he'll be able to do way more dastardly things because of that, because they think he's a Christian, and he's white.
There's a lot to
and
that.
He's handsome.
Yeah, there's a lot to that.
Yeah, he's handsome, he's a smooth talker, and I think that these phony military worshiping, flag worshiping, you know, country music listening to fake Christians will get right behind whatever he wants to do. So that's just the thought that occurs to me. But well, you guys are doing a good job. So well, I just wanted to call in and say that and say that I was glad to hear Cal this morning. So have
too.
A good day, man.
Thanks, Valerie. And that is true. You know, I remember us talking before, you know, I think I asked, remember John, when I asked the question, who do you think hurts Christianity more, Howard Stern or the guy from Texas, Joel Osteen, you know, and we all agreed it's Joel Osteen because the evil people are going to follow evil, but the ones that are looking for good, you know, and they, you know, they see this guy that supposedly, you know, everybody thinks is good, you know, but yet they don't give them the words that save, you know, or they don't tell them how to obey the gospel. They can be more damage, do way more damage to more God's people than the worst people in the face of the earth.
Yeah, you know, I've always thought that too, but then I looked yesterday. I was looking a little bit into the platforms on the two candidates, and the one thing that really hits me hard is Obama, you know, is for partial birth abortion, and if you know what that is, it's disgusting. It's basically the baby's pretty much born, and they stick a scissors in the back of his head and suck his brains out, you know. And then he's also passed a law that made infanticide or whatever that is, where babies are actually born and just left to die. I mean,
yeah, but the ones that, I mean, the Billy Grahams or the, you know, Focus on the Family shows or what, they put that out there. The ones that are, you know, trying to be Christian orientated, you know, they're trying to have morals, they know that, you know. They've heard it all. I mean, just like you've heard it, you know. If I turn it on Christian radio and Christian talk shows, I hear that. They talk about abortion and who's for it and who against it. And they talk about homosexuals and who's for it and who's against it. But the sneaky ones that come in, they come in and they look like they're righteous, you know. And I think that was kind of Valerie's point and, you know, my point too.
I agree.
Is that, you know, they can do damage to those that really want right, you know.
Yeah, just a little bit of rat poison.
Yeah, right. Sort of like that. All right, Jason, it's your turn.
Oh, I don't know. What else is going on out in the world there, John?
Not much, just election stuff, you know.
It is. It's all over.
That thing in Benghazi looks like it could blow up, but now they're saying
it was interesting that did you see the headlines that Israel and the United States were doing joint maneuvers on again this week?
No, I didn't see that.
I thought that was kind of interesting, considering that whole deal.
Has there been any more reports of the Russian armies or anything like that being in the U.S. like there was there for a while? I mean, it was being reported all over the place there for a while.
Yeah, there's still some of them here, but you know they've been doing a really good job of trying to cover it all up now. So,
yeah, so it's kind of on the back
like,
burner.
Just like the you know the ammo sales, people were making such a big deal about all these government entities buying up hundreds of thousands of ammunition, which in equivalated to billions of rounds of ammo, and that they passed another law to make all their ammo purchases secretive. So, and that's kind of what they've been doing with these foreign troops that are in the United States, is pass another law saying that, we don't have to tell the people about that.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, yeah, I think, you know, obviously the armies are still here. They're just on the down low now, you know. But it, you know, all that stuff, you know, it interests me, you know, because something's going to happen someday, you know, and I don't know exactly how it's going to do it or where it's going to begin. You know, you got ideas and that kind of thing, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's kind of just nice to look around and see what could be happening. And it's probably going to be a multitude of things at once, you know, but it's interesting. Interesting times.
Definitely.
Yeah, it certainly is. Certainly is.
Anyway, callers, the number is 307-745-5913, and we really, you know, it's really important to get other people's input, you know, because it really gets us to thinking. It's thought-provoking, you know. And so, you know, if you got something on your mind, give us a call.
Yeah, we did just finish putting all the articles together for the next Dragon Slayer newsletter. So that'll be on the rolling on the presses next week. Wanted to tell you about that.
Well, that's
Kyle will be down here running those printing presses.
Yep.
Pumping those Dragon Slayer newsletters out. So we'll be sending that out here shortly. So if you're not receiving it, make sure and let us know, and we'll get you on the list to start receiving that. Just a truth-filled newsletter that it's a lot of information that you can't get anywhere else. So we encourage you to order that. And you can send an email to the office if you'd like to receive it, or give the office a call, and they'll take care of it.
Well, I sit here looking across, you know, I'm sitting in Peter's office, of course, and looking at all these books he has here. And, boy, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have time to read all these? I mean, there's books on everything in here. And
to read them like Evelyn Wood.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, there's just it's a library of knowledge. You know, and there's just not time in the day to do it. But anyway, we got another caller. Let's go to the caller. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Timmy from Maine.
Hey, Timmy.
Both candidates are basically communists. Romney's a Trotskyite, and Obama's a Stalinist. And the fake Christians are all these fake Christian ministries are controlled by Trotskyite Red. And I also believe that God is going to do a chair bundling, just as he's done the last two or three elections. Anybody who pulls a lever for Romney is going to be cut off. I'm firmly of that belief. The people are under such a strong delusion. The only hope is spiritual, and that's Jesus Christ. And all Romney's going to do is just continue the communist policies. He can barely fake being a conservative. I don't trust him at all. He's a dangerous snake.
Well, that's what we want. We want people's input. And, you know, I mean, there's something to that communism thing. You know, it's kind of died down through the years. But, you know, it has a lot to do with the Babylonian system, you know, and they're going to come at you from every angle. They're going to come at you with the ones that are more heavy and just outlandish, and you can tell that they're communists from the get-go, and then they're going to have the sneaky ones. I mean, there's no doubt about it, you know.
Babylon, Babylon is
from the old days.
We've been focusing the communists so too long on the open Reds like Obama. We don't look at the Trotskyites, the closet Reds, like the Bushes, the Nixons, the Reagans, the Romneys. One guest to get on is Michael Collins Piper of American Free Press. He wrote The Jewish Scouts. That's a must read. He's a lot like Eustace Mullins.
Well, and what people don't understand, Timmy, is Judeo-Christianity, you know, that Judeo part of the Christianity is communist. I mean, they speak it out of their own mouth. I mean, I don't have the quotes in front of me by the rabbis and stuff, but it came out of Babylon. You know, I mean, that Talmud and Judaism, it came out of Babylon, and it's communist. You know what I mean? But people don't really understand it because, you know, they've never been told it. They've never understood it, you know what I mean?
I resent that term, Judeo-Christian.
Oh, me too.
There's nowhere in the Bible. I won't support ministers like John Hansen anymore. Oh, they're right on sodomy. They come out hardcore against it, but they continue to espouse that communist line of Judeo-Christianity. It's hog vomit.
Yeah. When do you think that came into existence, Jason? Do you think that was like 1920 or whatever? I mean, when did they start saying Judeo-Christians?
Well, I think it was a lot later than that. I think
was it?
Probably.
I mean, I know I never even heard it when I was younger listening to Christian radio or Christian stock. I never heard that till, I don't know, late 80s, you know, but I think I heard it. Yeah. Anyway.
It probably came around in the 60s, but Masons were probably behind it too, with Vatican help. And these Judeo-Christians, let's face it, they're really good socialists. Let's say Obama gets elected and he really makes a push for full communism, you watch him take the bribe. You watch phony gun owners and vets play right in the communist hands. The Reds bribe them. Even the Trotskyites, they fall for the bribe.
It's interesting.
That's it, brothers.
Thanks, Timmy. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
What do you think of that, John?
Yep.
Yeah, and to me it all comes back to Christ. You know, I mean, I'm not sure that, you know, I forget what Timmy exactly said about the only fight is spiritual. I think some of it is in the flesh, because we are in the flesh. But I think as far as you have to be spiritual to be able to fight it in the flesh, I think that is totally true.
Well, and I think a lot of people have got just a misconception of if we get a good president there, that's going to change everything. You know, that ain't the case.
No, it's repentance.
You know,
yeah.
Exactly. It goes back to repentance. And, you know, it used to be known that, you know, America was great because America's people were good.
Right.
And when America would people fail to be good and to be a God-fearing people, America would cease to be great. And that has been, there's been a transfer over the last how many generations that's taken place. We went from the biggest crediting nation to the biggest debting nation. You know, that is a transfer. And that's when people of America cease to fear God, to worship Him, and to serve Him. And they looked elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's what took the transfer, and that's what will change it back.
We're nowhere near close to the repentance of being deserving of being released from the bondage, you know?
Amen.
Exactly. I mean, it's so simple. I mean, you know, we repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, you know, call on Him, fear Him, worship Him. We don't have a lot of requirements of what we have to do under a one world leader dictatorship following Jesus Christ.
That's true.
But the blessings are immense. I mean,
yep.
The whole secret, 2 Chronicles 7:14, or at least a big part of it.
It's a big part of it. It really is. And, you know, that's where people are, you know, messed up in their thinking is, okay, well, this
you know, presidential candidate is going to do this and this and this, and we need this, and we need this for our economy, and we need this for this. Well, you know, I've got news for you. The Lord can take care of a group of people, a remnant, in a foreign land, can deliver them through all kinds of turmoil, can deliver them through famines, through pestilence, through famines, through floods. You know, he's done it time and time again. He's always had a people, and he's always taken care of a people. You know, and that's really what it boils down to, is we want to make sure that we are the part of the group of people that are protected.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't do, and we're to be separate from, you know, everything around us, from the world that's transforming around us, and to be set apart, to be different, to be holy. And, you know, that's the state of mind that we have to be in as a people individually.
Couldn't agree more.
The things of the world are going to continue to go on and on and on, and yep, they're going to change, and they're going to fluctuate, and they're going to make you think that, oh, the economy is doing better, and the unemployment rate's better, and this and that. You know, that doesn't affect you as a Christian. When you know you need to focus on your relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's what we need to work on, and we need to make sure that, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, you look at, you know, Daniel in the lion's den. You know, he was among a bunch of lions, and the angels shut their mouths of them. You know, we can be anywhere, any place, any time, and, you know, if we're walking right with the Lord, calling upon Him, He'll protect us no matter what's going on around us. And that's truth.
That is truth. Well, we got another caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Alex in Ontario.
Hi, Alex.
Two things. First, regarding the term Judeo-Christian, I don't think that's really used anymore. What I mainly hear mainstream Christians referring to themselves as these days is Orthodox.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess I don't listen to Christian radio too much anymore, so...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I don't want to listen to Christian radio very much.
Orthodox Christians. And so it's like, instead of Orthodox Jews, now they're Orthodox Christians?
Yeah, like just blatantly saying basically our beliefs are the correct beliefs, and anyone who thinks differently than us is not a true Christian or whatever.
Yeah.
Arrogant type of thing. And also with regards to Romney, he has big plans regarding the Israelis and regarding Iran. And he's been meeting with Jews whom even other Jews, at least on the surface, don't like. So he's going to probably divide up Christians who are pro the Israelis from Christians who aren't.
Yeah.
Yep. That makes sense.
That does make sense. Anything else, Alex?
No, thanks.
Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. And the phone number is 307-745-5913. And I'm going to read the enemies. It says, Israel's foes, here in Psalms 83, it says, they have said, come and let us cut them off. First I'll go to verse 3 in 83. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. And then it gives the list. The tabernacles of Edom, which is Esau, and the Ishmaelites, which is the Arab nations, the Muslims, of Moab and of Hagarines, and Gabal, and Ammon, and Amalek, and Philistines, with the inhabitants of Tyre. All these, you know, we think the Muslims and the Edomites are against each other. You know, and in some ways they are, but they take crafty counsel together to destroy God's people, Israel. And I think that's a big thing. What's happened in the days of old, and it's happening again now. And they have, you know, when it says crafty counsel, you know, it's crafty. Anyway, we do have another caller. Shall we take it?
Sure, we shall take it.
Okay. Caller, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, fellas. This is Willis over in Southern Illinois.
Hey, Willis.
This morning. Hey, just had a quick comment. Everybody's talking about Romney and Obama and everything like that. You know, it looks like a Red Sea predicament. We always seem to have our backs up against the wall when it comes to who's going to be the next president. The only thing I've got to say is at least Romney's white.
Exactly.
Not to sound like a racist. I'm no more racist than God, but you know, the word does say that we're not supposed to put
a stranger over
anyone
us.
Other than one of our own in leadership over us. And granted, Romney's not a very good example of one of our own, but at least he's white. Yeah.
Well, there's something to that, because, you know, you think about it, in the days of old, when they, even though they weren't supposed to put kings over them, there were some awful bad kings. But they never really got rebuked for having a foreigner over them, you know, I mean, because at least they weren't doing that wrong. And now they might have been a bad king, and they might have been leading them down a road to, you know, whatever you want to call it, so, you know, communism or whatever you want to call it, where they're paying so much taxes and so much bondage. But the fact of the matter is, they at least weren't getting rebuked at that time for putting a foreigner over them. You know?
Yeah, good point.
You know, they both want to court the Jews and get the favor of them, because they know they pretty much control the vote. But you know, it's like Obama said in one of his little white tie gathering the other day. He's talking about Mitt Romney, and he says, Mitt, he said, that's his middle name. He says, I wish I could go by my middle name, and we all know what that is, Mr. Hussein Obama. And my only comment is that at least Romney's not Obama. And
well, that's why I said earlier, Willis, that I don't get quite as mad when I see a Romney bumper sticker as I do when I get see an Obama one. It's just, that's just the way it is, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, when you drive around, you see all those banners in front of people's yards and bumper stickers and everything else, it kind of at least lets you know where everybody else is at. And it's unfortunate that is with the population the way it is in the United States, that Obama got elected in the beginning.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of misguided Caucasian people, even a lot, you know, misguided women that voted that fella in.
Well, and it goes back to those perverts on the pulpits that's been telling everybody for years that racists, or being a racist, is a sin, you know?
Yeah,
they can't,
everybody
it's
wants
not
to
in the Bible, it's, you know, in fact, it contradicts the Bible, but yet that's what's been promoted off the pulpits for so many years, and the brainwashed Christians, they believe it.
Well, what they're doing is just preparing the Christians to vote somebody like that heathen in. You know, because it makes them feel proud now, because they're celebrating their diversity by casting a vote for somebody, you know, like Obama. I think the best.
Well, and I think that there's a lot more racism now than there was 4 years ago, and people are more open about it. 4 years ago, you were hearing people talk about, well, I don't want to sound racist, or I don't want to sound racist. Now people are saying he's a nigger Muslim. And, you know, I mean, it's... There's been a lot of people that have gotten to, there's been a major separation. I think the plan of the enemies was to bring everybody together and, you know, have everybody love each other more. And that was going on during the first part of the presidency 4 years ago. Now, there's people that have got it figured out, and they're like, okay, I'm not scared to admit it. I'm a racist.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I've told people for years, and that is, I'm no more racist than God. when he told the Israelites to go through the nations and to wipe out every man, woman, child, in some cases beast, and they didn't do it, you know.
Yeah, we're living with that today.
Now.
Yep.
And I've got to stand on one scripture, and that is that Romans 8:28. And I thank Jason for bringing that up last night and this morning too. And that is God works all things together for good, not some things, but all things. And everything's going to work according to His plan, regardless of who's in office. But the bottom line is, we're not supposed to even consider bringing one of those heathen, non-Caucasian people in as leadership over us. And that's about all I got to say this morning. I'm enjoying the show. I was going to call in last night on Jason's show, and man, Jason, you rattled off those phone numbers so quick. Out of the three times, I didn't get the entire number.
Sorry about that. I tried to
maybe
tried
next
to
time
stay slow, but one of those deals.
Yeah, next time run that number off a little slower, and I'll put it in my phone diary so I can keep track of it.
Okay, I'll do it. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Willis.
Hey, you guys have a great day.
You too.
You too.
And we got the phone lines lit up. Let's go to the phone lines. Have a caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Richard. I mean, Richard Kyle.
That's all right. You know, Richard's a good guy.
This is Becky in Minnesota.
Hi, Becky.
Hi. I just wanted to bring up 2 points. First point, you were talking before about, you know, how we're supposed to go and spread the gospel, and then if the people don't receive it, we shake off our feet and walk away. This is true, but I also think that there's a lot of power in praying for the person, too, that you're trying to, you know, make understand.
Oh, absolutely. There's power in prayer, yes.
Because what comes to mind, too, is that book that you offer, The Kneeling Christian. Good book, by the way. I really like that book. It has a point in there about a person that was praying for this other guy's salvation. And he was praying for it and praying for it, like 40 years he wouldn't quit praying for it. And the guy finally died that was praying for him. And the guy that he was praying for actually got saved after his death.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
Know,
yeah.
It is. Persistency in prayer, you know.
And I think that's just a duty of, especially a parent or a grandparent, anybody basically, is even the ones that you can't reach vocally, you know, talking one-on-one. We all pray for the ones we love continually, and as you know, as even our own race, our own kindred people, but even more so the ones that we know and we want so bad. You know, go ahead, Jason.
Well, and I've just seen a lot of instances where you do what you know the one reason you dust the dust off your boots and you walk on is because otherwise you get into a position of compromise, and that's usually what ends up happening. You walk away, you dust your dust off, you walk away, and then you do. That's one of the things that's very important. You target them in prayer. And if you target them in prayer and have faith and believe and, you know, just continue to do it, the chances of them coming back to you and wanting to talk about it again are increased immensely.
Yeah. And you're talking about those that agree to disagree, because that doesn't do anybody any good.
Right.
Right. Yep, I agree.
Right, and that's true, too, because I think it was Paul that said, too, that when did the planting, when did the watering, but God is the one that creates the growth, you know?
Yep.
And then my second point was all about this controversy about the election that's going on. I just thought that I'd bring it up. I think it might have been in that sermon you were talking about, Kyle, that Dumber Dumber sermon, where the pastor pointed out, he said, so this is what you should do. He goes, you should go to the polls and you should vote, but you should vote for Jesus Christ.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what was going on back then is the first vote for Jesus Christ that the pastor got together. Yep.
And, you know, I did that. I wasn't even a Christian yet, but I did that. And I got up this morning, I was thinking about that for some reason, and I thought, you know, looking back after I did that, it was like a whole lot of doors of understanding and Holy Spirit guidance were brought to me after I had done that simple task.
Yeah, I understand. I remember feeling fulfilled after I did it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think the previous election, I had voted for the lesser of two evils, and I didn't feel good about it at all, you know.
Right.
Yep. Thanks, Becky. That was great.
Anything else? I wanted to bring that up, and I want to tell you all you're doing a good job, and I hope Richard brings back a great big elk for you all to share.
Me too. Wouldn't that be great?
That would.
All right. Thanks for calling.
You guys have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay, we lost that call. Yep. Caller, are you on the air?
Good morning, man. This is Bob from Missouri.
Hi, Bob. Bob, we've got a bad connection.
All righty. Well, I'll try it's
better now. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bob.
So, since we seem to have gone down this path of elections, I just wanted to point out, you know, it don't make a
hill of beans.
Yep, who you vote for, because they're going to put in office who they want. I mean, it's just...
Well, that's part of the conspiracy, you know what I mean?
And, yeah, oh, yeah.
And even though we're kooks to think about it or whatever, Bob, it's biblical, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've been a kook for a long time, so I'm used to it. And but anyway, I just wanted to point that out. And when Richard brings back that elk, y'all have my address.
Okay. Yeah, we'll ship you and Claudine some elk meat out. Okay.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right. All right, Bob. Bad connection. I'm gonna have to let you go.
All right. Bye bye.
All right. Bye. Well, those phones lit up good this morning. That's nice. Always makes our job easier, doesn't it, guys?
Yeah, it does. I like hearing from the people out there, too.
Me too. You know, back to what you were saying earlier, Jason, in your little sermon you gave. It kind of was like a sermon. But, you know, that if in this life only we have, you know, our hope is in Jesus Christ only, you know, then you can't live, you can't do the things that you're supposed to do, you know, because you know, the Christians walk around today doing nothing. You know, on a whole, you know, obviously not every individual, but when you realize that all they can do is kill you, you know, because we have put on immortality, I mean, it opens so many more doors, you know, to where, you know, I can do this and I can do that, because the worst they can do to me is, you know, kill me.
Yeah, amen. It's quite an advantage when you're fighting a war.
It is. And we got one more caller today. We got 4 minutes left, so... Caller, you're on the air.
Hey guys, this is Eric here in Missouri. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Well, I just had a few thoughts here. I was just kind of tuning in and out a little bit of your broadcast this morning. I'm usually not around on Saturday mornings, but luckily I have been this morning. But, you know, as far as the voting, you know, I hear a lot of stuff. I know there are people, you know, that are Christians and know who is stuff, and they feel that we have an obligation to vote, necessarily for Jesus Christ, but to pick one of the candidates there, because they feel that if we don't vote for the lesser of two evils, then it's an automatic vote for Obama, a vote for the left. You know, they'll even say that this is in the Bible, where God has basically commanded us to vote. But I think the difference there being is that those places are like in, you know, with under Moses, you know, and the people were gathered around. Look in Acts and see where they added some disciples, but they had to be Holy Spirit filled, you know, men of God, men that love Jesus Christ, you know, before we voted for them. And neither one of these candidates are. You know, sometimes I wonder that walking the earth today, would he vote for the Caucasian Mormon who does not profess Jesus, or would he vote for the Mongoloid Muslim? You know, and I don't know that, I just can't see how Jesus would vote for anyone that wasn't for him. So, you know, those are some convictions that I have as far as not voting for, in this situation, the lesser of two evils, but instead voting for Jesus Christ. You know, I look at even our founding fathers, you know, when they, you know, they set up this nation, we had... But at that time, we had statesmen, and you had to profess Jesus Christ before you could take office. And neither one of these guys, even though the you know, we have the Caucasian Romney, who will not. He will not profess Jesus Christ. And you're either, you know, and Jesus says you're for me or against me, you know. One thing about Obama is we do, you know, he's blatant. I mean, we can tell who he is. One caller earlier had mentioned that Mitt Romney's more of a snake, and yeah, I believe that would be, you know, he's easier to look at, definitely, you know, when I'm watching the news or whatever on the internet or something, boy, he's a lot more favorable to look at than, you know, than Obama. Obama's just so blatant, yeah, I mean, it just makes you sick. But but anyways, you know, our country was founded on Western European Caucasian biblical principles, and neither one of those guys are for the Bible. Neither one of them are, and neither one of them would profess Jesus Christ. And
well, we're out of time, Eric. We'll end on that, and I'm in total agreement with you. But we're out of time, and want everybody to have a good day out there, and we'll see you at church tomorrow. Goodbye. Bye, Eric.
See you. Hey.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.